Hey there, and welcome back. Today we're diving into something I know a lot of you are dealing with: teens and their smartphones.
Absolutely.
It's like we've given them these crazy powerful things, but someone forgot to give us the instruction manual, right?
Right.
But that's what we're here for. We're tackling this from two angles today. You guys sent in the Greater Victoria School District's new code of conduct all about personal devices. So
Yes.
we'll dig into that. And then we're layering in this really fascinating Pew Research Center study. It's all about how teens and parents actually are handling screen time in real life.
Out in the wild.
Exactly. Ready to get into it.
Absolutely. I think what's so interesting is, you've got a very local response like this school district policy,
Right. Yeah.
and we're connecting that to these big national trends that the Pew study highlights. So it's great to get that multifaceted view.
I love that. Okay, so let's unpack this code of conduct first. One thing I really liked is how they break it down by age group.
Yeah.
You've got elementary, middle, and high school. And I mean, come on, a second grader with an iPad is a totally different thing than like a high school senior glued to their phone.
Right, exactly. And the policy actually reflects that, using language that kind of evolves as students get older.
Okay.
But one of the most striking things to me is this consistent restriction on personal devices during what they call instructional hours. And that applies across the board,
Wow.
elementary, middle, high school. So it's a real commitment to focused learning, which I think is so important.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I remember trying to teach elementary school, just wrangling that age group is hard enough.
Oh, I know.
Without having a kid like three desks over playing Minecraft, it just really emphasizes what a distraction those devices can be.
Absolutely. And the elementary school section really drives that home. It's essentially a no phones in sight kind of rule.
Wow.
Class time, recess, lunch, you name it.
Wow, okay. So it sounds very strict for the little ones. But then, like you said, things start to change in middle school, high school.
Yeah.
It's like they're acknowledging that for older students, at least, tech isn't just about goofing off.
Right.
It can be a helpful tool for learning. And let's be real, it's a social lifeline at that age.
Exactly. And so the policy shifts. It allows for devices during instruction, but only if the teacher says so. There's a big emphasis on digital literacy responsible use.
Okay, hold on. Before I move on, what exactly is digital literacy? I feel like I hear that term everywhere, but.
It's a great question. It's one of those things that people throw around but don't often define.
Right, exactly.
Digital literacy is giving students the skills to not just use technology, but to really think critically about it.
Okay.
Its effect, potential pitfalls, how to use it responsibly. It's about being savvy consumers of the digital world,
So
basically.
it's not just knowing how to use a smartphone or how to like work social media. It's understanding the impact and making good choices about how we're using it.
Exactly. And this is where that Pew study is so fascinating because they actually asked teens how they feel about their phones, their relationship with technology. And some of the findings might surprise you.
Okay, tell me more, because this is where I was like, what? Get this. 72% of teens said they actually felt peaceful without their phones at least some of the time.
It's really interesting.
That really challenges that stereotype of teens being totally addicted.
It really does.
Yeah.
It suggests there's a lot more nuance there. They're not just these screen-obsessed zombies we sometimes paint them to be,
Yeah, right.
they see the benefits of unplugging.
Okay, that's good to hear. But, and this is a big but, the study also found almost half of teens said it was their parents glued to their phones during conversations.
Oh, the irony.
You can't make this up.
Right. It's like, do as I say, not as I do. It just highlights how important it is for parents to, walk the walk. If we're
Yeah.
constantly checking our phones, how can we expect our kids to be any different?
It's true. We send such mixed messages, it's no wonder they're confused.
Yeah.
So, okay, on the one hand, we've got schools like this district right here trying to create these phone-free zones to encourage focus. On the other hand, you've got apparently a good chunk of teens who actually wouldn't mind a little digital detox.
Yeah.
And then you've got Jaw,
Us.
the parents, setting the worst possible example. So, where does that leave us? Like,
It's
would you
the
say,
big
hey?
question, isn't it? And it's something that both the school district policy and this Pew study really touch on.
Okay.
What I find fascinating is how both of them emphasize going beyond just setting limits on the technology itself. It's also about understanding the why.
But he more in the why.
So instead of just no phones at the dinner table, it's like, why are our teens so drawn to these things in the first place? What need are they fulfilling? Is it fear of missing out? A desire to connect? once you understand the why, then you can start addressing those needs in a healthier way.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like instead of constantly battling your teen over the phone, you figure out how you can work with the technology to create some healthier boundaries.
Exactly. And that actually leads to another really fascinating part of the school policy I think we should discuss. It's about equity when it comes to tech access, and that often gets overlooked in these conversations.
Oh, 100%. We get so caught up in the screen time debate itself that we forget not every student even has the same opportunities.
Right. And the GVSD policy addresses that head on.
Uh-huh.
It specifically states that accommodations must be made for students who either don't have devices or need them for specific learning requirements.
I see.
So they're acknowledging that inequity exists outside of school and trying to level the playing field a bit.
That's huge, because those external factors really do make a difference.
Absolutely.
Mm.
And it makes you think about that Pew study finding about income and screen time.
You mean where higher income parents were more likely to say they struggle with their own screen time? Yeah, that threw me for a loop.
It's interesting, isn't it? You'd think more resources would equal more freedom to unplug.
Exactly.
It's speculation, but it could be the pressure to always be on, you know, emails, schedules, all those digital demands.
It's like that pressure never lets up.
Right. Even if you could theoretically disconnect more easily.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword.
Makes you think about what we were saying about modeling.
Exactly. We tell our teens to find that balance.
Right.
But are we putting our phones down, setting boundaries between work and life?
Right. It's one thing to talk the talk, but are we walking the walk? And speaking of talking, I thought that part of the Pew study about parent-teen communication was really interesting. This tough talks about phone use because, oof.
It can be rough.
To say the least.
The study didn't say how often they're happening, but it did say they are happening and they're not always pretty.
Oh, I bet.
About 4 in 10 parents and teens admitted to arguing about phone use somewhat regularly.
So those dinner table blow-ups they always show on TV, those are real.
Oh, absolutely. Happening in households everywhere. And get this, those arguments were more common with younger teens, especially in Hispanic households. What do you make of that?
That's a good question. Maybe cultural differences play a role?
It could be.
Different ideas about tech, about monitoring, independence, you know? Or maybe it's just the classic teenager pushing boundaries thing, but with a smartphone adding fuel to the fire.
Like, their world is already intense at that age.
Perfect.
Right? All those changes. Plus a device that's basically a direct line to drama 24/7.
Yeah.
It's a lot to handle.
For sure. And it's interesting because the study also highlighted how parents see their own screen time in all this.
Yes.
And this is where I think having both of these sources together is so helpful for anyone listening.
I agree. It's not just about teens, is it? We're just as guilty, if not more so, of unhealthy tech habits.
Right. We can't forget about ourselves in this.
Almost half the parents admitted to too much screen time themselves.
It's true. We're all in this together. It's like we're telling them to climb this mountain of self-control, but we're like hanging out at base camp, scrolling Instagram.
And that's exactly why this conversation is so important. It's not just about teens and their phones. It's recognizing that we, as the adults, you know,
yeah,
we're often just as guilty. And that's where I think having the Pew study next to the GVSD policy is so interesting.
Oh, tell me more about that.
Because the Pew study gives us that really valuable insight into what's actually happening.
Yeah.
But then the district policy is like, okay, here are some concrete things that, at least in the school environment, we're doing to address this. And one thing I thought was great is they don't shy away from some of the really tough stuff.
No, they don't.
Especially in middle and high school.
Yeah.
We're talking about things like cyberbullying, privacy violations, even illegal activities.
Right. It gets real.
The policy is very clear, not tolerated, even if it happens outside of school.
Wow.
And it goes beyond just saying, don't do bad things online.
Yeah.
Which, let's be real, can sound a little preachy.
Yeah, totally.
This policy gets specific. Mm-hmm. It talks about consent when it comes to, like, recording videos or sharing photos.
Oh, interesting.
That's huge because it's saying the digital world isn't separate. The same rules apply.
Right, right.
Respect, empathy, consent. Those values matter whether you're face-to-face or screen-to-screen.
It's like giving kids the tools to navigate those social situations.
Yeah.
Because online, things can escalate so quickly.
Yeah.
One careless comment and it's like wildfire.
Exactly. And that takes us right back to digital literacy, teaching kids to be responsible digital citizens.
Right.
Think critically about what they see online. Be mindful of their own, you know, digital footprint.
Yes.
And to speak up if something's not okay.
So it's not about demonizing technology. It's about empowering our kids to use it well.
100%. And that starts with us parents, educators, having open, honest conversations.
Absolutely.
About the good and the bad.
Yes, 100%.
So I think if there's one thing to take away from this whole conversation, from the Pew study, from this school district's policy, is that there's no one-size-fits-all approach.
Right.
What works for one teen won't work for another. So it's about creating that space where they can come to us.
Oh, that's so important.
With their questions.
Yeah.
And they feel supported in navigating all of this.
I love that. So as we wrap up this deep dive into teens, tech, all those tough talks, what's the one thing you hope our listeners take away?
I hope they come away feeling empowered, not overwhelmed.
Yes.
Tech is here to stay.
Yes.
It can be amazing for connection, learning, creativity, but we have to use it wisely.
Yes.
And that starts with us.
That's such a good point. So to all of you out there, parents, educators, anyone who cares about a young person, go have those conversations, model those healthy habits. And most importantly, let's empower this next generation to use technology in a way that benefits everyone. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. It's been amazing to chat about.
It really has.